to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that features the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts today, Greta Anderson, together with Jasmine Mergia. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning, Greta, and good morning to you, the listener.
And we hope everyone was feeling the love this past weekend on Valentine's Day, complete with hugs, kisses, and perhaps even some fair trade chocolate.
Yep, and that relates to our segment that we did on Friday.
Right, on chocolate and flowers. And you've been really busy here at KHOI Radio, Jasmine. For those of you who thought that the holiday season was now over, however, think again, as this week heads up a number of other holidays. To start with, today, Monday, February 16th, is President's Day. And all Story County and City of Ames offices and the Ames Public Library are closed in observance, as well as all U.S. post offices.
And tomorrow will be a big day in New Orleans and various Catholic-influenced cultures, notably in Brazil and Portugal, that celebrate Mardi Gras in a big way.
The following day, of course, is Ash Wednesday, when people atone for what they did the night before or the whole year before and prepare their minds and bodies for the coming of Easter 40 days later on April 5th this year.
And that date is determined by the lunar cycle as well as the calendar. So it is not surprising that these holidays coincide roughly with another holiday that is more directly related to the lunar calendar. The Lunar Year, sometimes called the Chinese New Year, but also celebrated in Korea and Vietnam. The Lunar New Year is celebrated on the second new moon after the winter solstice. The official day this year is for Thursday, February 19th. But during most of Thursday in Asia, it will be Wednesday here in Iowa. So I think some folks here might start celebrating early, actually.
And I understand that you spoke with some people who celebrate Asian traditions here in Iowa to see what that was like. We'll listen to that audio in a minute. Later in the hour, we speak to a couple of Ames High School jazz band members about their upcoming event and what it's like to be a jazz geek in the schools today.
And after that, we talk to Michelle Rowling, a counselor of Iowa State University who helped to start a statewide coalition addressing eating disorders. The events she has planned for Eating Disorder Awareness Week begins this week on Thursday.
So, Jasmine, would you like to introduce this next segment on Asian traditions as they are celebrated here in Ames?
Definitely. So with this piece, we will learn about the Lunar New Year, and it, as we said, it falls on 19th of this week. And specifically, we will listen to some students from Iowa State who celebrate the Lunar New Year from two different perspectives. The first student we will listen to is Cindy Lee. She is Vietnamese-American, and she describes how it was growing up between two cultures but still manages to stay grounded in her Vietnamese heritage. So could you tell us just a little bit about yourself growing up?
My parents are refugees. And so they carry over the really strict tradition Vietnamese, like the way they grew up, their culture over here. So I get a piece of that, and then I get a piece of the American culture, which clashes. So then growing up was really hard because I want to be like the American, but my parents were like, no, you have to be Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. So being both is really hard, but it's fun at the same time.
It's fun. How is it fun?
Because it's fun is because, like, if you act American, you're a rebel. So it's like, it's fun being the rebel, but then it sucks because I bring a lot of headaches to my family.
Okay, so then growing up, you were really in touch with your heritage and culture then.
Yeah,
most
likely.
Could you explain maybe how that happened or what kind of things your parents instilled in you?
They just instilled the mindset of, like, in Vietnam, you don't get a lot of, like, luxuries. You have to work for it. So they showed me that every day, like, they work so hard. They work from 9 to 9. And then they get home, and they have to be parents at home, so they have to work some more. And then by the time we're sleeping, they're, like, heading off to bed. But then when we wake up, they have to wake up with us. So they get very little sleep, and they work so hard. And in Vietnam, it's the same way.
So I guess what are the type of celebrations that you guys do at home, or the type of just little tiny things that are very unique to your culture, to your Vietnamese culture?
Well, big thing is that though my mom is a Catholic, she used to be a Buddhist. So we still have Buddha in our house. Mm-hmm. And we still have, like, a lot of red and gold all over the place, which is a symbol of good luck. And we do, like, the praising for our ancestors. And that's supposed to be good luck. And then doing like following by the rules of not doing taboo stuff, not doing non-traditional stuff, and going against superstitious stuff. There we go.
Oh, okay.
So like Vietnamese are very superstitious, so we can't go against those or anything like mm-hmm. that.
Okay, and then so going off with the Lunar New Year, what do you guys call Lunar New Year? Is there a specific name?
Oh, Vietnamese, it's that you would say to, if we were saying Happy New Year, so we would say Chúc mừng năm mới, and that's like a Happy New Year. And that is just saying like New Year.
So what is your favorite type of celebration within the celebrations?
Yes, like honestly, like the whole part about it is it's a really big like unity type of thing, and it's so nice because every family has their problems and every family has like struggles and stuff like that. But when it comes down to the 5 to 7 days of New Year, everyone's together, and just the fact that everyone's together and we're like happy, we're like eating our butts off, like we're eating so much, and like the fact that we can spend time together, it's the celebration in the celebration. Mm-hmm. Because that's all that matters during that time. So that's the nice part.
Are you going back home?
Yes. Yes, I am. Cool. Yes, I am. That's a must.
What do you guys do during that time?
Oh, my God. That's the fun part. So me and my mom, I love cooking. So all we do is cook for like a whole day straight. So from when we wake up until we go to sleep, and we cook the whole entire time. And then the next day is when we eat. We clean up the whole entire house, and we don't clean up until like everything's done, like the whole entire New Year is done. So we cook and then we clean, and then once we got everything done, then we enjoy. So basically then we just pig out, then we just like make a mess, and we just laugh and have fun and all that good stuff, and that's the fun part.
You indulge. That's yes. the best part, indulging yes. in everything. So what is your ultimate most favorite activity to do during that time?
We get to play Asian bingo. Asian bingo is like it's like a typical American bingo, but the thing is, instead of like having like letters or numbers, we have creatures, and then of the zodiac signs. So then like everyone puts in like a couple cents, and then we just play, and I'm always the winner, so that's why it's my favorite.
So do you have a favorite like childhood memory? Or
every year is every a memory, because cool. every year is different. So I mean, one year you could have just family, and another year you can have families and friends. And depending where you go, you can go to other people's houses and just have like tremendous fun mm-hmm. and everything. It's just it's a really cool and relaxing time during that time. It's not like intense or anything. You don't have to worry about anything. It's just mellow.
So do you have, like, other friends that do celebrations like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely. Because a lot of my friends are Vietnamese, and so they celebrate, too. And I know a lot of people who are Chinese that actually celebrate that, too, but they celebrate in a slightly different way. But it's also fun to, like, go with them and see how they celebrate things, which is pretty cool.
So you've been to, like, other types of New Year celebrations?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they differ from the Vietnamese?
It's just basically, so, like for instance, like, temple and mm-hmm. then Catholics, like, the churches, like, they celebrate differently because though they have the monks there for temple, they have the fathers there for temple, but the fathers don't do much. They just sit there and enjoy with us. There's still the lion dance and the dragon dance and all the food, but the temple, the temple, they, like, more of like praise more and hope for a brand new year and all that, while just the church is just like, hey, let's all just be one today, and don't matter that we're all individual people. And it's just different the way like they have everything going. So it's pretty cool to see the difference.
Cool. So do you have just one big event, or do you go to two events?
I got to like actually two or three of them, because okay. they're all different.
Nice. So what types of food do you guys eat?
Oh, man, that's so much to even talk about. But most likely, it's just, like, all different types of meats. And then we also have vegetarian stuff. And we have fruits everywhere. Like, fruits, just upon fruits. Mm-hmm. And Vietnamese sandwiches are typically there.
Is it banh mi?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really good. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, all the food there you taste is actually really good. Because mm-hmm. we try to make it the best for our new year.
So what would you say to the Ames community for, like, if they actually want to go be part of the celebration, if they can, where to go?
Well, if you, like, look online, and if you go to, like a temple, a Vietnamese temple or a Vietnamese church, they should typically, like, put it on their website. Hey, we're going to have, a really big event for this. You should definitely come. It's fun. Just jump in. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to care. Everyone's just trying to have fun. So just look up online, and you most likely will find it. So, or you can just go to your church that you know, like, the Vietnamese community is there. Mm-hmm. And you can just ask, like, when's the event, and then you can just come. I mean, it's not a big problem where you go.
Okay. So what's, like, one last thing you want to share with the Ames community about these types of celebrations and your culture?
If you can, go to any celebration as you can, because you can see how awesome it is, because we're just all unified. We don't see each other's differences, and there's a boatload of food, and you can try all different food. You can see how people celebrate. You can see all the hardcore traditions that still lives even in America. So it's just really awesome. The Vietnamese culture, though we're in America now and though we're adapting to American cultures, our culture still lives strong in us. For those who actually still love celebrating, still embrace it. So when you go to any celebration, no matter if it's a Catholic or a temple, it's still the same thing, because we're still celebrating the same thing, and that lives along with us no matter what, no matter where we go.
That was Cindy Lee, ISU student, speaking about how her family celebrates the Lunar New Year. I hope she has lots of fun celebrating with her family this weekend. Well, the second student I interviewed was Han Xiao Hu. She is an international student from China and is one of the coordinators for the Chinese New Year celebration at Iowa State.
My name is Han Xiao Hu, and I'm a junior, double major in journalism and speech communication at Iowa State, and I'm originally from China.
Growing up in China, how were the Chinese New Year celebrations there?
One thing is that I definitely miss, celebrating Chinese New Year in China. Mm-hmm. The first thing would be, the red pocket. The elderlies give, money. They put money into a red pocket. We call it red pocket because, this is a paper bag. We, always in red. And because red is the symbol color for Chinese New Year's, to mean the next New Year will be, red and, good, red, fire. I don't know if you have heard about that, but then normally we will have, the elderly will give the red pocket to the younger generation during the New Year Eve dinner, and then that's the most exciting part for kids and children, because they can get good food and also get money from their grandma, grandpa, uncle, and auntie, and also from their parents. So, and the New Year's Eve, another thing would be New Year's Eve dinner. New Year's Eve dinner would be families get together and they eat at a round table. They all sit together and talk, but we share the food on the table. And that's what makes the New Year's even better for Chinese. And another thing is the Chinese New Year is not just one day. It's a half month. We celebrate from the Lunar Year, the first day of Lunar Year until the 15th day of Lunar Year. There are a lot of traditions in China, in my, the place that I was born and I grew up with, mm-hmm. We have my parents will always take me to buy stuffs for New Year. We'll have a lot of candies, a lot of snacks for kids who come to visit us during the on the first few days of Lunar Year, because that's the tradition. Because people who know you really good, who know you really well, they will bring their kids to come and visit you and to say Happy New Year and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's why we go and buy all the stuff for Chinese New Year. This is one of the great traditions that I really like.
So here you just celebrate it for a day or two?
Yeah, for here, you don't feel to spend the Chinese New Year in China that much. You just feel, it's New Year, let's celebrate. And just one or two days, but in China you celebrate even for a whole month. Okay. So that's the different part from celebrating Chinese New Year in here than in China.
Okay.
And also that we can't get that much stuff as we get in China in here. And, like, we can get all the traditional candies and all the snacks for kids. And for here, we can buy those stuff. Those are from China.
So what's, like, a traditional dish, I guess, that you guys eat in China? Do you guys even prepare it here, maybe?
Yes, dumplings. Dumplings is different than you buy from this Asian supermarket. We would just, like, make our own dumplings rather than go and buy the frozen dumplings in Asian America. The dumplings, it's not about eating dumplings, about like spending time with your family. That's what's the dumplings meaning about, because like we make dumplings while we are in China. Like in my family, we make dumplings on the New Year's Eve and we all sit together. Kids will help their like parents to make dumplings and they talk and say like what their New Year's wishes is. And that's what makes the New Year's special for us. Okay. Be with the family is the most important part. Because, like people who study, like, not in a different city in China, or people working in a different city in China, and some people even study or work abroad, they were, like, some of them will fly back to China and just for celebrate the New Year with their family. I have a few friends, just a few of them, who, like, fly back. Even they're still studying here, and to just surprise their family and to spend the year of goat to celebrate with them. And that's the most touching part of, like, it's about with the family. It's about be with your family. Okay. Most exciting part is stepping in the rat pocket. Who doesn't love money?
Yeah.
And kids was, like, so excited. Some of them get, like, keep their rat pocket money, and some of them don't. Like, I don't get, like, most of the money. I just give it back to my parents. There's another tradition that's really, really important. It's, like, the New Year celebration that played on Central Television, China Central Television, CCTV. And that's, we watch it every year, even if it sucks. We watch it every year. And not just, like, watch it. This is not the meaning, but, like, watch with your family.
Yeah, let's just talk about the Chinese New Year celebration here at ISU. What type of celebrations do you guys do?
We have a bunch of performances, and we also have lucky draw for the audience who have a ticket with them. And for the performance this year, we have 12 performances in total. And the first one will be Lion Dance. And as many people know, that Lion Dance is one of the traditions that Chinese people have, not just Chinese people, also I do some research that Vietnam and Malaysia, they also have Lion Dance as one of their traditions for celebrating the New Year. And this year we also have like the other like crosstalk and sketch comedy, like for our audience. It'll be really fun. And I know there we will have some American like audience who doesn't know Chinese. And so we have like a side PowerPoint for them to like have an introduction for our performances. Like what is about with the performances.
And so you guys do this every year here at ISU?
Yes, we do. We normally do it just like this time, like few days before the New Year or a few days after the New Year.
Okay, so what can you say, to, I guess, to the Ames community? What is why they should come to these Chinese New Year celebrations every year?
First thing, I feel like Iowa State have really good like cultural diversity like background, and we have so many international students, and Chinese students are like a huge part of it. And so to feel like the cultural differences is definitely will be something new for you if you have never experienced it before. This is a very good experience for anyone. And so I definitely encourage everyone to come.
That was Han Xiao, one of the coordinators for the Chinese New Year celebration at Iowa State. And going back to what we heard from Cindy and Han Xiao, we can see that the New Year celebrations are really about being with family and friends and just simply enjoying their presence. And I could definitely see that from last night. I attended the Chinese New Year celebration at Iowa State in the Memorial Union. And around 600 people showed up to last night's Chinese New Year celebrations, and they enjoyed 2 hours of entertainment, such as funny skits, singing, dancing, and, of course, the majestic and exciting lion dance. Truly performances you have to see live. So thank you again to Cindy Lee and Han Xiao for sharing their cultures with us.
And that was Jasmine Murguia,
I'm a KHOI intern and journalism student at ISU reporting about the Lunar New Year on ISU campus. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. A reminder to our audience that today is President's Day and City of Ames offices, Story County offices, and the library are closed. Thanks for that report, Jasmine.
Yep. And then just one more thing that was briefly mentioned. This year, 2015, according to the Chinese zodiac, it is Year of the Goat, or also called the Year of the Sheep or Ram.
Oh, okay. Well, it's interesting that different Asian cultures celebrate the New Year not only in different ways, but actually at different times. I just returned from a trip to Japan where they celebrate both the calendar New Year. They have an extended celebration around January 1st. And they also celebrate the Lunar New Year, except their lunar holiday, Setsubin, coincides with the full moon in February, which happened to take place while I was still there on vacation.
Okay. So did you observe a Japanese New Year celebration?
Actually, yes. We heard a couple of instances of how families celebrate the New Year, but I, of course, attended a public celebration. I was in Kyoto at the time. It seemed not to be a major holiday, but a fun one nonetheless. The celebrations were taking place at a few neighborhood temples, and they differed from temple to temple because we happened upon a second temple the next day. These are temples combining Buddhist and Shinto traditions. It's a time of year when people write down their prayers on wooden prayer sticks, and at the temple I visited, these sticks had been piled skillfully together in the center of the temple square and covered by sort of green boughs of green vegetation. And then so besides the prayer, the concept is kind of spring cleaning, clearing out one's house of expired lucky charms and other important but kind of old, outdated stuff that represents the old year to make way for the new. We saw people carrying shopping bags full of this kind of items to the temple where they were taken out of sight by a conveyor belt, presumably to be burned later by the monks of the temple. The temple priest then conducted a drama in which the harbinger of the new year argued with another man who was playing the role of the devil for entrance into the temple square. Finally, the devil gave way. He was out-argued, and the priest then symbolically slayed the old year in all four directions with different kinds of weapons, a sword, a halberd. Finally, they lit the pile of prayer sticks, and it was really amazing to watch them tend the fire because it was – you never saw the fire. You only saw the smoke and smelled the incense.
Mm-hmm. And I can definitely agree with that. My boyfriend, he's Vietnamese, and they also have a temple. And there they also kind of do the same thing. They have the prayers, and they light, like, a bunch of incense, and they just praise them. And they have a bunch of skits representing different things. And it's truly, like, a historical moment just to learn about their culture as well. So it makes sense, though, the idea of spring cleaning. It's kind of, like, universal, as you said.
Yeah, and ever since I've been home, I've been cleaning house. So maybe we're just bored of the scenery inside our houses after a long winter, and we just want to change things up a bit.
Mm-hmm. And changing things up is what our next guests do quite well.
We have with us two young jazz musicians, Jonah DeGeest and Patrick Jasper. Hi, Jonah.
Hi.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
And you two are here to talk about an upcoming event, Jazz Encounters, that will be held this Thursday at the Ames High School Auditorium, February 19th, 7:30 p.m. Want to tell us a little bit more about that event?
Sure. It's an annual performance that
we... This is Patrick.
This is an annual performance that we put on just for the community and anyone who likes to come, usually parents, friends. And it's just kind of a showcase of what we've been working on the past couple months. It's a pretty relaxed event, just in the auditorium. There's usually some snacks, that kind of thing.
Okay. Is it, when you say jazz band, is it the full jazz band? Is it combos? What kind of thing, what kind of numbers will we hear?
Yeah, it's the first, it's a full jazz combo thing. We've got, you know, saxophones, trombones, and trumpets, and then there's a rhythm section, so it's
pretty you.
Cool. Yep.
That's Jonah.
That's me and the piano.
I think there's 18 members total.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So, and each number contains everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, it's a traditional format for a big band is what it's called. So it's not quite a combo. Big band, jazz, you know, has the, yeah. big benefit.
Right, right. So how did each of you get into jazz to begin with? I mean, every kid might dream of being a rock star or a pop idol, but it's not every kid that says, I want to play jazz when I grow up. Or either of you? Patrick?
I started just, I think I joined middle school jazz band, which was my first encounter with the genre, I guess. And then...
Had you been playing saxophone before that?
I've been playing saxophone just in, like, elementary school band and that kind of thing. But that was my first experience with jazz, and then I really liked the improvising aspect of it, and I began taking lessons with a professor at ISU, learning how to improvise, and that's how I got started.
Yeah, and for me, it started through my church. My church used to have a jazz band that was just, you know, all these old guys playing music together. And, I was watching them one Sunday, and I was like, this is really cool. And so, you know, just I started talking to them, and the piano player actually helped me a lot with, you know, learning to improvise and that type of thing.
What was his name?
Roger Volker.
Roger Volker, yeah. He passed away this year.
Yeah, a few months ago.
So I'm sorry. And so, you know, you guys are both pretty into your music. Jonah, I've seen you down at the train depot in the summer playing with the old rock and rollers.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick, you've been playing sax in our church as long as I can remember. You know, what's it been like in terms of your peers who might be listening to one of those pop stations that play the same 20 songs over and over again, and here you are into some more esoteric stuff? What's it like being growing up more interested or developing an interest in music that is more sophisticated or off the beaten path?
It's a bit frustrating at times because, like, if you're in the car with your friends, they're never going to be listening to what you want to listen to. But, I don't know, we get along. We try to find some common ground.
Yeah, I kind of live two lives. One's the jazz life, and then the other is, like, you know, fitting in with everyone else. So it's, you just have to find that balance between the two.
Do you have a favorite jazz album or CD or even music CD that made you really think, wow, that's what music can do?
Well, we've both been listening to, like, Snarky Puppy, which is, like, it's jazz, but it's jazz fusion. And it's a more modern twist on some of, you know, like, the traditional jazz styles. And it's pretty cool stuff.
Our engineer, Rick Morrison, is raising his eyebrows. I'm thinking he's going to have to check that out, too, and add it to our repertoire. Any others?
I mean, most of my jazz listening is, like, the old greats of jazz. So, like, alto players that I listen to would be Charlie Parker and Cannonball Adderley. But, yeah, I can't really think of the first one, but they're all pretty great, so.
Yeah. So how far do you think you'll take your music? Patrick, you're a senior, and then Jonah, you're a junior, so is this going to be something you were going to decide to pursue in college?
I have decided to pursue music in college, so I've actually just got back from an audition this weekend, last night. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going yet or exactly what path I'll take in the music world, but that's what I've decided to
try. Well, good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
As a junior, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure if I want to make music my entire life, but I don't ever want to just fully cut it out and, you know, ignore it. So at least I'm going to minor in it, I think, and then maybe major in engineering or something.
Okay. How would you rate the opportunities you have to learn jazz musicianship and perform, perhaps travel with your band at Ames High School?
It's pretty good. Our instructor, Mr. Buttermore, helps us out and teaches us what he can about, like, big band especially. And then around Ames, we try to do what we can, like, gig around. We have a jazz combo called the Jazzy Lads. classic. We try to help each other learn and that kind of thing. And definitely taking private lessons is the best way to learn about, like, the deep improvising techniques and stuff.
Yeah, Mr. Buttermore as an instructor more helps with like the band aspect of it, you know, keeping everything balanced and, you know, entrances and all that stuff. It's not as much about like, you know, improvisation and that type of thing.
Do you get to do a lot of improvisation within the jazz band setting?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, the big band jazz is definitely a lot different than playing in a combo. A big band, there's more melodies by like sections, and it's very much more planned out. And then there are like solo sections in each song, but there's not like an opportunity to take a 5-minute solo. Whereas in a combo, it's more spur of the moment, first of all, and then there's just, it's all about the solos, not about the playing.
The tune.
Yeah.
Are you both in the Jazzy Lads then?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Okay.
And we actually have a gig tomorrow night at Windsor Oaks at 5:30.
We do?
Yes, we do.
That's hilarious.
And those are jazz musicians for you. we have that gig.
Improvisation.
Yeah. Where is Windsor Hills?
Windsor Oaks.
Windsor Oaks.
I don't know the address, but it's a retirement community in the area. So, yeah.
Oh, that sounds really fun. Is it open to the public or just for the residents there?
I'm not 100% sure. I bet if you wanted to come see us, you could sit in the back, though.
Yeah.
Who's your manager?
I would be the manager, but it depends. Like, whoever contacts us for a gig, like, if you contact me, I'll probably manage that gig pretty much. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Anything else you'd like to say about being a young jazz musician in Ames?
It's really great when people come out and support us because jazz is not the popular music of today. So any support and just listen to jazz and support your local jazz musicians.
Okay. And the details about the event on Thursday, again, that's a jazz band concert at 7:30 in the auditorium. Thursday night, February 19th, everyone is welcome. Let's see. We've been talking to Jonah DeGeest and Patrick Jasper. We're going to play a tune from last year's CD produced by the Ames High Jazz Band. Are you going to make another CD this year?
We're not actually. It's a big process, and it involves a lot of money because we actually hired professionals to come make a recording of our band, and every year we decide where the funds go every year, so this year we're not, but.
Okay, well, it does sound very good, very well produced, so good job on that. And are there still, can people still pick up one of these CDs somewhere?
They're not being produced anymore, but if you would like one, could ask me or Jonah, and we could probably get you one.
On the sly, okay. Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for coming in. Don't want to make you late for school, and we're going to listen now to the tune Cayenne from that CD from last year, the Ames High Jazz Band. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
And that was last year's Ames High School Jazz Band playing the tune Cayenne. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio with your hosts, Greta Anderson and Jasmine Murgia.
Yeah, that was cute. That was an awesome interview. It's definitely awesome seeing these young students already having a passion in a music that isn't widely, you know, loved by people their age. So that was nice.
Yeah. Next up, we have a recorded interview done by our Local Talk correspondent, Kay Puttock, with Michelle Rowling, a counselor at ISU, about Eating Disorders Awareness Week, which is technically the last week in February, but the events here at ISU start this Thursday. So I guess we'll just get right into that. Here's Kay Puttock talking to Michelle Rowling.
Well, I'd like to welcome into the studio Michelle Rowling from Iowa State. She is the clinical care coordinator at ISU Student Counseling Services, and she's come to tell us about some special events that are coming up for the National Eating Disorders Awareness Week. But first of all, I'd like to just tell you a little bit more about Michelle. She's the co-founder of the Eating Disorders Coalition of Iowa and a certified eating disorder specialist. So, welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, would you like to tell us about the Eating Disorders events that you've got coming up?
Absolutely. Eating Disorders Awareness Week is a national event. So events are held all over the country trying to raise awareness across the general public regarding the severity of eating disorders, the way that eating disorders impact not just the individual who's struggling, but their entire family system and their friends, and the complexity of getting help and going through recovery for eating disorders. And this National Week has been around for a long time. We've had events on Iowa State campus for well over 25 years each February. Each year, I feel like we're growing in the activities that we have going on and the participation from both students and the Ames community that are coming in and wanting to be educated and wanting to know more.
Well, do you want to mention some of the specific events you've got?
Absolutely. On Thursday, February 19th, we're bringing in headline speaker Brian Cuban. Brian is the author of a book called Shattered Images, My Struggle and Recovery from Body Dysmorphic Disorder. Brian is doing a great job of breaking the silence regarding men who struggle with eating disorders. And Brian talks about the multiple addictions that he developed in the course of trying to maintain and get to the perfect male physique. Mm. So things started off for him more in an anorexic phase of really restriction and lack of nourishment for his body, kind of morphed into some bulimic phases. And bulimia can be the use of any negative behavior to compensate for food. Most commonly, we hear about purging, but also this would involve...
So that would, I think most people know what that is, but just in case, that would mean forcing yourself to vomit to get rid of what you've just eaten, and also maybe taking laxatives?
Correct, laxatives. And also, one of the pieces that we don't think about so much is the use of exercise as a purge. And so any time that someone has a, if I do this, then I have to run an extra mile, or I have to work out an extra amount of time, where it's specific compared to something that they have consumed, then they're using exercise in that type of relationship.
So you think that's not a healthy state of mind, too?
No. And we live in a culture where that type of mindset is really pretty accepted. People don't really question it. If someone were to say that when you were having lunch with them, you might not, that might not, you know, go on your radar. However, if someone was going to tell you that they were going to leave lunch and go take some laxatives, you would be very concerned. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for the public to know that exercise can be used.
It's very interesting. The first speak you have on the 19th is a male, because I think some people's stereotype is that this is a female problem.
Absolutely. It's definitely the stereotype, and I really want to break that stereotype. We know that at least 30% of people in the United States who struggle with eating disorders are men, and that statistic is great. I think it's really diminished because it's so much harder for men to come forward.
Right.
There's a lot of shame for anyone struggling with an eating disorder, especially for men when there is such a stigma and a belief that this is a female struggle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the first event, a male speaker about his struggle with eating disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. And then on Tuesday, February 24th, we will be showing a documentary on campus, a cultural icon for Iowa State students, Demi Lovato. She became a childhood star coming up through Nickelodeon and Disney TV and has been very public about her struggle with her eating disorder. And she filmed a documentary called Live Strong. So we'll be previewing the documentary and then having a question and answer time period with some people who are either involved in helping people in recovery. There'll be a therapist there from the student counseling services. There'll be a student there who's been through recovery and a couple other individuals to offer the different perspectives and to answer questions and just to have some dialogue about the documentary. So that'll be on Tuesday the 24th.
And these events are all open to anybody. You don't have to be an Iowa State student.
That is correct. They are open to the public, and we really encourage the community to come and get involved and be educated more about the changing face of eating disorders.
Now, you say changing face. Is it noticeable that the prevalence of this disorder has changed over time?
Yes. We are really seeing that eating disorders are impacting both genders and people across the full lifetime span. And so we're seeing youth and children starting eating disorders.
And that's something relatively new?
We were previously seeing the onset in the teens, 20s. About 15 years ago, I think everyone would have said, you know, mid-teens, mm-hmm. 20s. And now Midwest statistics show that the average age onset for eating disorders in the Midwest for girls is age 12, and for boys, it's just 1 year younger, which is interesting.
Yes.
And we're also seeing the incredible increase in people who are in retirement starting eating disorders for the first time in their lives. So these would be individuals who did not have previous eating disorder behaviors that are having sudden onset of eating disorders. And
this retired woman is just getting goggle-eyed at this. This is really an eye-opener to me. Why? To what do you attribute that?
Well, we have always looked at that eating disorders tend to happen during times of major transition, which is why historically it was thought of as a college-aged female struggle. Huge transition time period in someone's life.
Okay.
That's what we're seeing again for the population heading into the retirement years. So we have loss of identity. These are individuals who may be focused primarily on their professional identity and were completely involving their life in that realm. And when they no longer have that role to fill, are seeking some place or something to do something really well. And so I believe that all eating disorders start off from a desire to be healthy. No one wakes up and says, I want to have an eating disorder, and sets out that goal. It's something that evolves over time, and usually in a very innocent type way. I'm going to cut back certain food groups. I'm going to increase my activity. And what happens is that a subset of the population is genetically predispositioned to develop some kind of addiction. And once that pattern starts, it starts to take on a life of its own.
So you'd say it's an addiction to exercise, but how can you be addicted to not eating?
What happens is that the brain has the same biochemical response if you're restricting or if you're purging or if you're over-exercising. It releases a dopamine and serotonin hit. And so what we actually get addicted to is our body's own chemical release. And it feels good. So if you think about healthy ways that we get that rush, if you're spending time with really good friends and you've had a lot of laughter, There's this kind of euphoria that you feel. Or if you've just really read something inspirational. It's that sense of peace that comes over us, the relaxation mode. That's the dopamine hit.
Okay.
And what happens is it feels good. And once
people get that from starving themselves, basically.
Because it's the body's protection. So okay. Also, if we're hurt, like if you fall off your bike or you cut your finger, your brain releases some dopamine to help you feel better.
Oh, I see.
So it's the body's way of trying to protect
itself. Of coping.
Right. So it's a coping. We can get it in these positive ways, but then also we can get it in these negative behavior ways where we force our body to be in an uncomfortable situation. Mm-hmm. It's complicated, and that's one of the reasons why it's so important that people realize the need to really work with some experts as soon as you realize that yourself or a loved one is starting to struggle.
You hear a lot, too, about people have a false body image. In other words, other people look at them sometimes and think they look terrible. They look as if they're dying and they're half starved. And they look in the mirror and they still think they're too fat.
Correct. And that's actually the focus of Brian Cuban's talk in his book, that body dysmorphic disorder. That's what that is. It's the inaccurate perception of self. And so when he talks about in his book, and I'm sure he'll talk about in person, that when he looked in the mirror, regardless of the truth of who he was, the image reflected back at him was a disfigured exaggeration of something that he thought he at one time looked like. So what happens, it's a form of obsessive compulsive disorder. And what happens is that the mind latches on typically to one body part of someone, whether they get fixated on their neck or their stomach or their legs. And that when they look at that part of them, they see something very different than what reality is. In the same way as if someone's afraid of spiders and the spider really is like the size of the tip of your finger, to them, the spider may seem as big as the kitchen table.
Right.
The mind exaggerates it. It's the same concept.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And very challenging to work on and to treat, especially without the assistance of a full treatment team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more events?
The last one that I want to highlight is Thursday, February 26th. That night, we are going to be focusing on that concept of the athlete and that athletic image and how that desire to be active can slip into an obsessive challenge. Mm-hmm. And the best way to try and find that balance, how to train like an athlete and recover like an athlete, how to nourish yourself like an athlete and take days off and to have a body acceptance of self. Really, the message ultimately that we are trying to remind people is that there really is no look. And that health looks different for everyone based on your own body genetics and your stature. And the key is trying to figure out how do I have health within the body I have and how do I have balance in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And that what is going to be true for me is going to be different for you.
Right.
And that is certainly not the message that we are programmed.
Right. And when you look at old films like Marilyn Monroe or so on, I mean, she was curvy.
She was curvy. She was curvy. And Marilyn Monroe was a size 14, which is the actual average size of an American female now. The difference is that now the ideal that we're being shown is a size 2. And so if we look at the tragedy of the pressure and the change in what young girls think they're supposed to look like, that's really a startling image and a startling impact mm-hmm. on our young girls and boys.
Right.
And studies are just showing more and more the pressure around the body shame. And we have watched studies going on in third and fourth grade kids. and they're asked if you could have one wish, and they list off several different options for them. World peace, being protected so that none of your family members ever have to live with cancer, having financial stability, or never having to worry about being fat, which one would you choose? And the number one choice that students are making is about body. You know, and the issue for me in the role that I have is that I feel like we're caught in this catch-22. I understand the concern in our country about the, quote, obesity epidemic. I do. However, I'm here to tell you that the reason we have an obesity epidemic is because we have an eating disorder epidemic. And the reality is that when people diet and restrict, when you stop dieting, then you overcompensate and you gain more weight than you lost. So every time you do that, your body size gets bigger.
And it's not because just you feel you want to overeat. It's that your body has gone into starvation mode, saving the calories there. And you just, your metabolism has slowed down.
Correct.
So dieting makes you fat, yes.
That is correct. The long-term turnaround. That's the reality.
Okay. Well.
and I do just want to say there is hope for recovery. If you are out there and you are listening, please know that it is never too late to reach out for help. The Eating Disorder Coalition of Iowa is here to be a consult place for you, for your loved one. Our website is easy to remember. It's edciowa.org. You can contact us right through there, edciowa.org. We have events going on all the time. We have support groups for parents who are trying to help their child through recovery. You are not alone, and we want you to be able to reach out and get some support along the way. And anyone in your life who you are concerned about, reach out to them and, you know, just offer that opportunity to talk, to help them try and connect to some experts in the field. If they could have figured it out on their own, they would have already done it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Michelle Rowling. And these certainly sound like interesting events coming up on campus for everyone. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
That was Michelle Rowling, the Clinical Care Coordinator for ISU Student Counseling Services and co-founder of Eating Disorders Coalition of Iowa. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio.
And just to recap, there are events on February 19th with the keynote speaker Brian Cuban, author of Shattered Images, the preview and discussion of the Demi Lovato documentary film Live Strong on Tuesday, February 24th, and the discussion of The Athlete's Body on Thursday, February 26th. Details will be available on our website later today.
Earlier, we heard of an evening of jazz music at Ames High School this coming Thursday, and we spoke with Jonah DeGeest and Patrick Jasper, high school junior and senior in the band.
We started the hour talking about this week's holidays, especially the Lunar New Year, centered on the new moon, and how Asian-born and Asian-American students at ISU celebrate their heritage. Many thanks to Cindy Lee and Han Xiaohu.
And a reminder to everyone that today is President's Day, and most government offices, including City of Ames and Story County offices, are closed. The Ames Public Library and your local post offices are also closed.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We've been your hosts, Jasmine Murguia and Greta Anderson.
Our engineer was Rick Morrison. Our theme music is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Links to all events mentioned on the show will be provided on our website at khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, where you can also find links to the podcast of this show and previous shows.
Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. If you'd like to join the Local Talk production team, stop by the studio at 410 Douglas Avenue, call us at 292-2878, or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. We're always looking for good news tips.
Your participation as audience and your generous donations are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.